Welcome to our midweek Bible study. If you would, open up to 2 Thessalonians. Now that we've completed 1 Thessalonians, it only makes sense to step into 2 Thessalonians. If you were to take the very first couple verses of 1 Thessalonians and put them side by side with the first couple verses of 2 Thessalonians, it's pretty closely worded the same way. There's just a few words that are different. But if you have in your Bible the ability to look at the first couple verses in both books, look at the first verse in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Now look at the first verse and a half, or first two verses of 2 Thessalonians. Sounds very familiar. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? Well, if you were to go back through and study what other people say, which means it may not be accurate, the timing between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians is pretty short. Some people want to estimate and guess it's just a few weeks or a few months, and that may be right, but a good safe guess is at least within a year, year and a half, but it's still just an estimate. You may think, well, what in the world would motivate Paul and Silvanus or Silas and Timothy to write a second letter so quickly? Well, the problem is with men and women and communication, things don't always get communicated the way they needed to. Sometimes things get misunderstood. Usually when you think of a misunderstanding, it's more so on the part of the listener. A miscommunication, sometimes on the part of the speaker or the communicator. This isn't so much a miscommunication as it is a misunderstanding. Just let me give you a couple of real-life illustrations. There was a married couple that was in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and she was on her phone, and he looked out and saw a bumper sticker and read it out loud. And she said, "You love pecans and sushi? That doesn't make a lot of sense. I didn't know that about you." And he said, "No, I was just reading the bumper sticker. I love the Constitution." It's just a misunderstanding. Sometimes we don't pay very close attention. Maybe there's another story from the past. There's a baseball player. He was dressed in a brand new summer suit, and the wife of the mayor came in and told him, and says, "You look very cool." And he turned to her and said, "Well, you don't look so hot yourself." You start realizing these miscommunications and misunderstandings can happen very easily. And I figure to say that they probably happen in your life too. But whenever you come to 2 Thessalonians, the misunderstanding, it's not a miscommunication. Paul, Silas, and Timothy said it right in 1 Thessalonians. The problem was, it's a misunderstanding. Those in Thessalonica took what Paul, Silas, and Timothy had written down in 1 Thessalonians, and they didn't quite get the point. And the big misunderstanding is about the day of the Lord or the second coming of Jesus. They started to think in terms of, well, it's coming any day now. You can maybe understand how they might come to that thought. We look back on that and go, well, how silly. Well, of course, we're almost 2,000 years after that. We know it wasn't in a few days or months. But the people in Thessalonica didn't get it so quickly. You have to remember, these people are really young in the faith. They don't have the advantage of being able to pick up a Bible like what we know and getting to read through all of the Old Testament and getting to read through all of the New Testament. It's very new to them. And some of them don't even come from a Jewish background to know the Old Testament. In 2 Thessalonians, Chapter 1 deals with, well, who is the Lord going to come back for? Who's going to get retribution? And who's going to be able to be with the Lord forever? Chapter 2, it deals with the situations around, well, what about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are there certain things that have to happen first before that will ever take place? Of course there were. And he's going to go into a lot of detail about some things that you really don't know the hard details about until you get to the book of Revelation that John writes. And then chapter 3 is about some people who thought, well, since the Lord's coming, well, let's just stop working. Why bring in the harvest if he's going to be here? Why bother going around and tiring ourselves out if he's just going to come? Sometimes people look at life and they kind of miss the point. Well, real quickly, I want you to look back through 1 Thessalonians and just read through a couple of these verses and ask yourself, could this be misunderstood to think that Jesus was coming right away, as opposed to thinking about him just coming in the future, of telling you, well, let me fast forward and tell you about how this thing's going to turn out in the end? Well, just listen to a few of these verses out of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Here's a picture, waiting for his Son. Well, look at chapter 2. Look at verses 19 and 20. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Notice, presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming. Once again, you think, well, is that now? Look at chapter 3. Look down at verses 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. You kind of hear it again, don't you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see how they could take verse 17 and misunderstand it? Then we who are alive, they must have thought, oh, we'll still be alive whenever he comes. Yeah, there are some saints who have died, but it's going to happen within our lifetime. But that's not what Paul meant. He just says we, the saints who are alive, not we will actually be alive. So you can easily understand how they could misunderstand what Paul wrote. If you look at chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians, look at verse 2. He says, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Once again, he's telling them how it's going to happen. Sometimes there's assumptions that people bring to what they hear. Look at just one final little bit here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Can you look through these verses and see how they could miss it? As you notice the verses, they come to them, and this happens so often. I can tell you from teaching, as well as probably about any other teacher, that you make statements and people marry them together with the thoughts that are already in their mind and then think that's what you said or what you taught. We have to be real careful as listeners that we don't marry together our assumptions with the scriptures and come up with a misunderstanding. Well, somehow, Paul caught wind. He caught the news that the saints in Thessalonica were thinking that the Lord would come any day now. And they had changed what they were doing. You'll find out here through the first few verses of 2 Thessalonians, they didn't leave Jesus. They didn't give up being faithful. They didn't give up their love for one another. And they were going to persevere through persecutions and afflictions. But some among them started to think, well, if the Lord's going to return, well, then why am I doing all these things that are hard work for the future? I mean, take this thought for granted. If you knew the date, if you even just knew the year that Jesus would return, and by the way, even Jesus said in his time on earth that he didn't even know when he would be returning. Only the Father knows. But if we knew the year that he was coming, would it change the way you handle things? If you thought the year the Lord was coming in just a year or two, would you bother putting anything back for retirement? Would you bother planning out the future? Would you be concerned about a home mortgage or a car loan if you knew, well, the Lord's going to return, so why bother being concerned about what it's going to cost me in year 10 or 20? So you can understand a little bit of what's happening, but here's something else we need to understand. Paul loved the saints of Thessalonica. You saw his deep affection for them in 1 Thessalonians. The idea that they misunderstood what he said, man, it was time to write some more. It was time to show them, when the Lord does return, this is what's going to happen. These are the events that you'll know must take place before the Lord returns. And then to look at, well, what's our response now that we know these things? And that's basically 2 Thessalonians chapters 1, 2, and 3. So, if you've ever been misunderstood for what you said, then you can easily understand why 2 Thessalonians is written. Now, here they are, Paul, Silvanus, also known as Silas, and Timothy. And they sit down and write the book of 2 Thessalonians, inspired by God. Now, I want you to think about that one, too. We know that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. That's what Paul told Timothy. 1 Thessalonians is God-breathed, but that doesn't mean man always understands it. And we have to be careful with that one, too. This is a time where it was misunderstood even by the saints, some of them at least. And now to see, let's make sure we understand this more clearly. So when 2 Thessalonians begins in chapter 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, we already looked through it. It's so similar to the way 1 Thessalonians opens up. There are some things that when they're misunderstood, it doesn't change a whole lot. There are other things of Scripture that whenever they're misunderstood, it may very well cost you your soul. Here's what we need to take note of. The saints in Thessalonica are still saints. They're still the church, even though there's some misunderstanding among some of them. Too many times, people get alienated because of a misunderstanding. Notice, what is faith responding to? Is it responding to our assumptions? Is it responding to what we think it might be? Or is our faith responding to what Jesus has said and what is clearly seen in looking through Scripture? Not just one verse and twisting it or manipulating it. Here's Paul and Silas and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the faithful saints, those who have been called out of the world and called in to God. He says, you are in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the one we submit to. How many times in your life have you worked in a job, been in a situation, and the one who is your superior, you misunderstood what they wanted. You did it with all your heart, and then you came to find out that's not at all what they wanted. We feel a little bit of shame, and we feel sorry, sometimes just for ourselves, but to realize it's time to do it right. And it's time to do it in the way that our Lord wants. That's what faith does. That's how faith responds to misunderstandings and mistakes. It's time to submit myself now that I know what's right. If you notice, look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you've misunderstood things, do you feel like you have a need for grace? If you've ever done something with all your heart that you thought is what was asked of you, and then you realize, I've messed it all up. Did you hope they would show you grace? You haven't earned favor. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's something to remember. In 1 Thessalonians, he said something very similar to this. He said, if you look back at it in 1 Thessalonians 1, he says, grace to you and peace at the end of 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Now, he takes it even a step further in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was going to be the same. It's coming from the same source, either way, whether it's spoken or not. But he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What's something is, in the midst of a misunderstanding, you're doing all you can to submit to the Lord, you have peace in the midst of it. But the moment you find out that's not what He wanted, peace leaves pretty fast when we realize we didn't do it right. We messed it up. And then you understand His grace of what He offers in forgiveness. And then we once again find peace. Because now we will do it His way. Our faith will respond to Jesus and to God. Spiritual peace is about knowing that you're walking with the Lord. What's so troublesome is when we think that's what we've done, and then you find out what the Lord really wants. Here's grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying, make sure I'm not misunderstood, that all the saints in Thessalonica misunderstood. But there were definitely some. And we'll read about them in chapter 3. And so as Paul writes through all of 2 Thessalonians, there's a big misunderstanding among some. And Paul says, basically, in writing this letter, inspired by the Spirit of God, I don't want that to be because of me. Even though what Paul had written in 1 Thessalonians was God-breathed, it was inspired by the Spirit of God and written down 100% correct. Yet, he wants to come back to them and make sure they understand so that their souls and their faith can respond in a way that's pleasing to God and to know this is grace that Paul would write to them again. This is grace from God that they would have the misunderstanding corrected and that they could come to walk more perfectly in Jesus and that they could find peace from God that would endure all the way from that day until the time the Lord actually does return. So, 2 Thessalonians is a wonderful study. But understand this. It's probably born out of a misunderstanding with 1 Thessalonians. So you'll find plenty of times we go back and refer to 1 Thessalonians through this study of 2 Thessalonians. Farewell until we meet again.